This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Laser, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. In this episode, Andy Saves Barney Morrell. This was aired back on February the 20th, 1961. It was written by David Adler and directed by Bob Sweeney. Another good episode that shows the relationship for Andy and Barney, and basically how Andy solves problems in an Abraham Lincoln type way, and how he really cares for Barney and goes to a lot of trouble to make sure Barney's okay. But also, Andy knows how to use psychology on his town folks to rectify a situation. The episode starts out with Andy getting ready to go to a town called Centerville. He has to testify at a trial. So he puts Barney in charge for the time while he's gone. And you can tell Andy is uneasy about Barney being in charge. But after Barney talks to him in a little while, Andy feels a little bit more confident and leaves for the amount of time that he's going to leave. And that's going to be our trivia question today. Andy comes back. Barney's standing out in front of the courthouse looking all smug and confident, and Andy's like, "Well, it's awful quiet," and he opens up the jail door, and oh my gosh, he's got 40 people in jail, and Barney's got them packed in there like sardines, as Andy would say. So Andy says, "Let's get you all out of there," and Barney said, "Well, I had to pack them in there because I'm not the justice of the peace, you are." So Andy started dealing with them one by one. One of the first charges he dealt with was Judd Fletcher, who was charged with disturbing the peace, and he threw his checkerboard at Chester. And one of the funny parts of this episode, Andy asked Judd to yell at the top of his lung, "Two-faced cheating liar," and he does, and you can barely hear him talking, so everybody cracks up. Of course, he drops the charges. Barney also arrested Mayor Pike for vagrancy and loitering. You know, imagine arresting a mayor for that. Of course, Andy drops the charges, and then, of course, Barney, not showing any favoritism, had arrested Aunt B. Violation of Code 421, unlawful assemblage and inciting a riot. Basically, she was getting together with ladies and talking, and of course, Andy drops all those charges. Basically, what happens, Andy drops all the charges on everybody, and Barney starts to lose confidence. And the next scene, Barney goes into the barber shop, and Floyd's in there with the mayor and some others, and they start making fun of Barney and calling him several names, and Barney gets upset and leaves, and Barney's really, really taking it pretty hard because, as they say in the episode, he doesn't like to be made fun of. So Andy goes to Barney's girlfriend at the time was Hilda May. And he talks to Hilda May about trying to build Barney's confidence up. And Hilda May goes into, and they show a little bit of a flashback here of what she did last evening with Barney, and talks about how she was building him up. But she made one mistake. She started running her fingers through Barney's hair. And when she did, Barney's hair looked really funny. And she started laughing at Barney, and he got upset again. So, again, that didn't work. Another episode, you see something very rare on the Andy Griffith Show. Barney comes in. He's unshaved, and his clothes are wrinkled. He just doesn't look his neat and clean self. And this is one of the few episodes where Barney isn't dressed neatly in his deputy uniform. So, again, you get to see a couple of unusual things here. Barney gets called a few names in this episode, which is sort of interesting. He gets called Sherlock Holmes, Wild Bill Fife, and Wyatt Earp. So, again, you know, these are some of the townsfolk making fun of Barney. At one point, Barney decides near the end of the episode that he's had enough and that he's going to resign. So he pulls out the things he's turning in. He goes, "One cap, one badge, one revolver, one bullet," of course, that he pulls out of his left front pocket, and one gun belt. And as he's doing that, Aunt Bee and Opie come in and basically say, "Andy, you should be ashamed. You got a deputy sheriff who's trying to uphold the law," and they locked themselves in a jail. One by one, all of the people that Andy had released and dropped the charges bring themselves back to the jail. And you say, "Well, why did that happen?" Well, again, with Andy went around the town and started telling people that he was going to get rid of Barney, that he couldn't have a deputy around, that had lost the confidence of the townsfolk. And Andy didn't have to tell them what to do. Andy knew that if he told people he was going to get rid of Barney because they were making fun of him, that they would do something about it. So again, that tells you a little bit about the culture of the Andy Griffith Show in Mayberry. Andy just sort of had to lay the groundwork, and he knew how the townspeople would react because they all really cared about Barney, and he only made fun of him because they liked him. So again, another episode in where Andy really shows how he knows how to take care of the townspeople, and particularly take care of Barney. One of the there's several side characters. You know, Burt Mustin appears in many episodes. He's Judd Fletcher, Fletcher. Joseph Joe Hamilton portrays Chester Jones. Now, you would see Hamilton appear in numerous episodes, and usually he was what they would call a town loafer in these episodes. Also in this episode, you hear what becomes Barney's theme. The name of the song is The Manhunt. And the first time it was played is in the episode The Manhunt, but it was like played as background music. But this song usually was played when Barney was on doing some kind of deputying, so to speak. So again, it became associated and became Barney's theme. Also, one interesting scene, when Andy's going around telling the townspeople that he's going to get rid of Barney, it's interesting, you see one scene where Chester Jones is playing checkers with Judd Fletcher, and then in another scene, he's also in the courthouse as Andy comes and tells people, the barbershop, as Andy comes to tell everybody again that he's going to have to get rid of Barney. So either Chester's fast, getting two places at once, or maybe the episode just lost its continuity here, or because Chester looks as if he's not heard the information before. Now you could play it off as he's hearing it a second time and really couldn't believe it. But again, it's interesting to see that he's in these two scenes. So again, a couple of interesting things there. You also get to see Barney wearing his salt and pepper suit, and this was in the episode, the part of the episode where Hilda May's doing the flashback. You see Otis Campbell. You see a school teacher, Miss Johnson, Franklin, a banker, Charlie, a councilman, and all these people, of course, were arrested by Barney. So again, another funny episode, and again, I love the way this episode ends. Andy was making a comment as he's typing on a typewriter near the end of Barney. He says, "Well, you locked everybody up," and said, "I'm surprised you didn't get me." And Barney says, "Well, you are out of uniform, don't have a tie on, your collar's not buttoned up, you're not wearing your gun." And so Andy, without saying a word, gets up from his typewriter, walks up over to the jail, and the episode ends with Andy locking himself in jail and looking at Barney, and Barney just sort of have a half grin on his face. So again, a great episode, and again, Barney's morale was definitely saved by Andy, and you have to give some kudos to the townspeople as well. Again, another way to show how everybody cared about each other. We've been talking about, in a lot of these Mayberry podcasts, about some of the characters on the show. You can't talk about the characters and not talk about Ernest T. Bass. Now, Ernest T. Bass only appeared on about 5 episodes, but many people feel like he appeared on many more than that. You might wonder why they didn't use Ernest T. Bass quite a bit. Well, we've got some interesting revelations here by Sheldon Leonard. One of the things he said is that Ernest T. Bass was a very single-minded character. You know, there's one episode where he has to try to find a woman, another episode he wants to get an education, another episode he joins the Army, but really all he wanted was a uniform. And when he wanted something, he did everything he could to get it. Basically, Ernest T. Bass was a very, very primitive character. And they felt that they couldn't use him in too many episodes because he would just completely dominate the entire show. Sheldon Leonard referred to Ernest T. Bass, and this is a quote, as a mad kind of hillbilly character who was very funny but who had to be used very sparingly because of his exotic, eccentric nature. Like too much garlic, he could become a liability rather than an asset. So again, you didn't see him on many episodes, and obviously they were right because when you ask people, go ask some of your friends how many times they saw Ernest T. Bass on an Andy Griffith Show, and they'll give you numerous times, but I believe the answer is only 5. Again, you can find these kind of tidbits out in a book by Richard Kelly called The Andy Griffith Show. It's got a lot of interesting tidbits there. So again, another great character for the show, and really a very different character. Another hillbilly character, sort of like the Darlings, but really extreme in a different way. All right, it's time for the trivia question. Again, you have to pay close attention to this when you're watching the episode. Andy takes a trip to Centerville to testify at a trial. How many hours was Andy going to be gone on his trip to Centerville? Again, how many hours was Andy gone on his trip to Centerville? If you'd like to take a crack at guessing the number of hours, you can email me at burkek@etsu.edu. Or you can go to the website, burkeonmayberry.com, and there you'll find the answer beside the episode name. If you have any questions or comments about Burke on Mayberry, don't hesitate to contact me again at that email address, burkek@etsu.edu. And as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours. Thanks for listening.